Hi everyone, I'm Veronica Chanel from Veronica Chanel Media, and I'm so excited that I am interviewing the lovely actress, someone I've been watching for years on television, so I'm a little starstruck right now, Denise Boutte. Thank you for being here and allowing me to interview you.
Thank you, Veronica. I appreciate it.
And so, Denise, I want to ask you, because looking at your resume and the amount of experience you have, when you first heard about Master P is tied to this film, what was your first thoughts?
First of all, I wanted free tickets to the next No Limit concert. Master P is the reason why I almost lost my scholarship at LSU. See, the problem is...
Really?
Yes, it's his fault, because Mystical would always come to campus and they would perform. And so whenever I'd finally leave the club, I had to go to school the next day and I wouldn't go to class. So Master P is responsible for me almost losing my scholarship.
So he owe you.
He owes me, man. That's what I'm saying, you know? So that's what I first thought. Like, okay, first of all, you need to pay my tuition. And then the next thing I thought was, oh my God, what an honor. Because I'm a Louisiana girl. I mean, we're from the same place, you know? So it was just really kind of like full circle. It was funny. But the first time we worked together was on Never and Again. And of course, the same director, Lazariel Lisson. I like to say his name like that, make it fancy. But I mean, it was just so wild, because for that movie, I was on an emotional roller coaster and pretty much crying and my heart out in every single scene. So I was kind of checked out. Like, P was there, but I kind of was in my own little area. And it's so funny, because sometimes people would be like, you know, are you okay? Is everything? I was just like, yeah. I was like, you know, I have to lose a baby in the next scene. So, you know, I'm good. I'm kind of preparing right now. So I was kind of, you know, it was just mentally, it was a lot. It was very heavy. And so I really kind of didn't get a chance to interact with B for the most part. Mm-hmm. And until this, you know, film right here, like I said, I saw him and I'd seen him around. Like, there was a Saints game and we were in a, you know, certain area, like little VIP area. And I've met him before. So I've met him over the years, but to actually work with him or whatever was a different experience. But he's just a cool guy. I think it was that good down home Louisiana homeboy situation, and there was just a comfort and ease or whatever with us, and it was just natural, you know what I'm saying? He's got that southern drawl, I do too. It's just kind of like, all right, let's make some magic happen, you know? And again, we had both worked with Laz before, and so once we got our you know, our scenes and stuff, we were just ready to just kind of play around and make it our own and, you know, play some ball. So
that's the key. Cool.
Yeah.
To make it your own, because something wouldn't connect him to like a suspense film.
Yeah. And it's a thrill ride for real. Like it, girl, I don't know. I'm grown and my heart wasn't ready for all that. Like I just, I'm serious. And it's a, it's a thriller, but it is a psychological thriller. So at times you're just kind of like, but wait, you know, you're trying to put the pieces together. And I'll say about 3/4 of the way is when the pieces of the puzzle started to come together for me. And I was like, oh, that's what that, oh snap. This is what, like, it starts. So it's not a typical, you know, beginning, middle, and end. Like, you don't know where this thing is going. Like, you have, you're on a total thrill ride. You have no idea what's all around the next corner. And it's just, I mean, to the point where I told Laz, I was like, I'm really afraid to see what's in your head. Because for you to have thought of some mess like this, I mean, you, something ain't right. Like, something.
Right. Like, where did you get it from?
Yeah. And coming from a love story, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Never and Again, and then transitioning to Unknown. I was just like, what in the hell? Like, it's two completely different animals. These have nothing to do with each other, but it was really cool. And the fact that he, you know, saw P and I in a light to where he was like, they can take this on too. Like, they're versatile enough and they have what I feel takes or whatever to bring these characters to life, even though they're completely different, you know, from Never and Again. So it was really cool. And it's nice to have people that are in your corner that know right. that you have range and recognize your talent. So I was very, very grateful for that.
Absolutely, because there's a host of actors and actresses out there. And for them to pick you and Master P, I mean.
Isn't that crazy? I know. Yeah, now Percy, that's my cousin. He can't get rid of me even if he tried. So you're cool.
Well, I'm glad you said it was two. Your comment you made was it was two completely different movies. But that was, I was going to go into my next question. Was it challenging for you to play this role as a DA?
I would say no. I've prided myself on being malleable. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And always bringing just the humanity to, you know, the characters. You know, I wasn't in a prosthetic or whatever playing, you know, a monster of sorts. So it didn't have to require any, you know, real, mm-hmm. you know, like transformation or anything, but it was just fun. It was just really fun. And like I said, there was an ease and a comfort there to where, you know, P and I started playing with the dialogue. I mean, the thing that got me was that, you know, for instance, like the women, we show up on set, we got to do the hair and the makeup and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. And, oh, you yeah. know, I had to be there an hour and a half before he did. He was there. When I got to set, and that's why I always say to be early is to be on time. I'm sorry, I was a little running late for your podcast, girl. But to be early is to be on time. And he was there ready. And I was just like, wait a second. You are not. He was like, yeah. He was like, you know, so when you're ready or whatever, I was like, let's go. And so I hurried mm-hmm. up, you know, through wardrobe or whatever. And, you know, I told a hair and makeup girl, I was like, I don't need a lot, you know, a DA or whatever. So I'm not like glamming it up or whatever, like Beyonce mm-hmm. with a wind machine going to the scene of a crime and a murder. You know, I was just like, I don't need all that. You know, can you imagine? Like, yeah. going to whatever and just like this or whatever. And, you know, the dude's dead on the ground. It'd be funny. Anyway. That's the next movie. That's the next one. But needless to say, he was ready to play ball. Like, dude was ready. And so mm-hmm. that's what we did. You know, I was just like, wow, that's how a mogul becomes a mogul. Like, he yes. is an expert, you know, boss, you know, in the music world.
I was gonna say that. He's a businessman.
He's a businessman, and he mm-hmm. understands the business side of it. And he wanted the on-camera part of it to be developed or whatever the same way that he does on the other, you know, parts of entertainment. And it was just really a commendable, admirable. Yeah. And mm-hmm. again, we just played. I think it was that, you know, Southern comfort or whatever. And mm-hmm. we had a good time. We had a really good time.
And I did see like the behind the scenes and how it's like you guys have a connection.
Yes.
The acting, like, oh, we're in the same industry. You know, sometimes actors and actresses, because you are all actors and Hollywood, we you kind of mesh, but you guys are deeper than that.
It's the Louisiana thing. I think it's the Louisiana thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I've loved his, you know, from the music world. I mean, girl, I can look. Mia X is up in that No Limit camp. I love Mia. That's what I'm saying. I was too busy going to No Limit Day in concerts instead of going to class. So
you
don't
took me back now.
That's what I'm saying. I could rap a little Mama Mia for you right now. You know. So yeah, it was this a level of respect we have for one another. And so here's a funny story, right? So, you know, Last gave us the liberty to just make it our own, right? So I was just mm-hmm. like, he really probably shouldn't have done that. Okay, so we were just like, okay, so what we're gonna do is, and so you notice as a woman or whatever, because the temperament in the business has changed, which mm-hmm. I don't know, some things may not have been for the best, whatever. But men that are really respectful of a woman's presence and of the woman themselves, yeah. they're a little apprehensive to, you know, say certain things or be mm-hmm. aggressive, I guess you would say. So you as a woman owe it to your partner to give them permission to be aggressive. Like, hey, I won't take offense to it. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is that you say, you know, just go for it. I'm perfectly fine with it. It's hard. You know what I'm saying? For them to right. know, engage the woman that's across mm-hmm. from as to what it is that they're comfortable with. Right. Mm-hmm. So this was just a verbal assault, of sorts, right? Because you can tell we're both sketchy. Neither one of us is up to the, we're not on the right sides of the law. Something ain't right, okay? Mm-hmm. So I get insulted, okay? I guess you would say in that particular scene by him. Okay, wonderful. So I told him, I was like, P, I was like, please know that I want to take offense to anything that you say. I was like, feel free to go off the page and lay me out. I don't care. I was like, but here's the deal. The only thing you're going to have to like be aware of is that I might ruin this take by laughing. Okay. So if you go off too far, and I was like, here's what I'm cool with. Okay. Pretend that I'm one of the new artists or whatever in No Limit and I'm giving you your cut. I was like, however you would lay that chick out, that's what I need you to do with me. I need you to
lay me out. What did he say?
I was like, I need you to lay me out like the chick that wasn't giving you your money. He was like, oh, okay.
That's rough, though. That's rough.
So I was laughing because I was like, he's such a good guy. He's like a family man, you know? He does so much stuff for the community back home. So I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, he's such an upstanding citizen, but No Limit P back in the day, that's a gangster dude right there. So go back to gangster dude.
Absolutely.
Go into your arsenal of gangster life, and then that's what you go ahead on again. Because it was so fun. And that's what I'm saying. It was like family. I know I've maybe taken it too far or whatever, but it's just like a commonality or whatever and a comfort that, again, I was like, it's this family right now, you know? Yeah. So it was really cool.
That is awesome. That's amazing. A lot of people don't have that, especially on set. I know they don't have that. So that's good that you and him have that capability to kind of like mesh and work with each other like that.
Yeah. And like I said, as a woman, like I mean, this was just dialogue and he's just, you know, like that particular scene, just like insulting the mess out of her. But, you know, and it's different things, you know, and these guys or whatever really have to be very, you know, the like I said, the ones that are very aware, you know, of the temperament, making sure people are comfortable. They really have to play it safe. You know what I'm saying? So we're in control. The females are in control in order to set the tone and let them know what we're comfortable with. So like I say, he was just verbally assaulting me, but in other type scenes and stuff, you know, love scenes and stuff like that, like they really have to be very cautious and respectful, I guess you would say. So yeah, the female is definitely in control of those situations.
I wanted to kind of ask you like on a personal level from what you have done so far, because you was in Tyler Perry movie with Janet Jackson. There was a particular scene. They were not treating that character too nice. You remember that Why Did I Get Married, that movie? That is totally different from what you're doing now, from that movie, from Meet the Browns. How do you prepare yourself as you begin to shift and take on these different roles? Is a totally different scene. What do Denise do?
You know, it's I'd love to say that I like, you know, practice and get into character. I think that we all have different sides of us. You know what I'm saying? I think that's true. All like that I'm not saying, you know, a Jekyll and Hyde, you know, kind of thing, but there's a little bit of something in all of us or whatever that can make, you know, that type of a transition. What's harder for me is, like I said, the emotional stuff can be really draining. And that's kind of what, that's a lot of what I've been doing. So this, I think, was very refreshing. You know what I'm saying? The whole psychological thriller situation, this in itself was refreshing because she's a boss. She's a boss. She's just running things. Like she's trying not to get emotionally attached to anything because she's got a crime to solve. Like she ain't got time for that. You know, she can't put her emotions in it like that. But it's very interesting because different parts of my career have had different themes, I guess you would say. And in this town, a lot of people are like, I don't want to get typecast. It's actually not bad in that. You know, people will see you for a certain way, but their attention span is only so long. You know what I'm saying? So sooner or later, they forget. But I think it's been so fun to play all these different characters and these different colors and layers. Like, you know, for instance, you know, case in point, Why Did I Get Married? Well, Why Did I Get Married came out after like Browns. So Browns came out first. So then it was like Denise was the good girl and happy girl and a giddy girl and all that stuff. So that's what I was playing. Okay, the work that followed after that, that's who she was. Trina comes around.
Right.
And then I have, I'm still in men. That's all I'm doing. That's what your girl is doing. Okay. And then that was kind of my lane. You know what I'm saying? And then it went to emotionally distraught. Oh my God, this, you know, victim chick, you know, so I've been playing victim chick for a long time, you know? Mm-hmm. And so maybe this is boss chick phase. So yeah. I would love to be entering boss chick phase, you know, with regards to the procedurals and the cops and the stuff like that. I've never played, you know, a DA before or anything like that. So it may be my new, you know, kind of lane that I can, you know, glide in for a while. But it's just, it's been fun. And just the fact that people don't, you know, think that I can do just one thing. It may be for a time or whatever, but they do consider me for other stuff. And Recently, I told my manager, I was just like, you know, I really want to play somebody, you know, I don't know if you remember Charlize Theron in Monster, and she really is just like, oh my God, she was hard to look at, right? And I told my manager, I was like, oh my God, I want something scum of the earth. Like, I want this chick to be gutter, I mean, just really grimy. And I wanted that for years. And I was like, you know, God doesn't present it until you're ready for it. Okay.
Right. That's right.
And so when it presented itself a couple months ago, I was like, oh, this is so great. This is what I've been asking for. He says I'm ready. And then I was like, this is scary. Like, it was just, I mean, chicks on strung out. She's strung out. She's just at the bottom. I mean, abusive verbally, physically, whatever you can think of, this chick is that. And I was like, what have I asked for? Like, what is I thinking? And that was, I think, one of my scariest roles. I think it was scary because I was like, can I even pull this off? Because this is really far from who I am. Like, I really don't know how to tap into that chick. Like, that part of me, I ain't tapped into. First of all, I don't know how to smoke a joint. So y'all got to teach me how to hold it and how to puff it. Like, they were trying to, I swear.
Now that's the streets.
So I'm like, okay, so wait, I roll it and I was doing this, like, with my hand. They're like, no. Okay. And so I was like.
Like you're cooking.
Yeah. I was like, rolling, like, don't. And he's like, no, babe. No. That's not. And you got to put it in. I was like, oh, God. I was like, can it just be rolled? And they're like, no, you have to. So then I started. So I was like, okay, so how do you hold it? So you just do. Now, this was the day before, thank God that I had to do this part, because I would have never got. So they show me how to hold it. And then I was like, well, wait. I was like, I thought you have a clip. He said, what? I was like, yeah, I thought you clipped it and then you held it and I did like that. He was like, no. He was like, you do not. He was like, and I blew it out. He's like, no. You have to. And I was like, oh my God, I need a whole lesson in how to smoke a joint.
You know what?
So it was just so funny. And I was just like thrown. Like that right there, that was the most challenging role I've had, because I was just like, I don't know what to do with this, but ended up. He was like, okay, you pulled it off because I can cut it properly, because we were all about to pass out laughing when you were smoking. I was just like, oh my God, I don't know how to do this. And even in Never and Again, I was choking on the fake cigarette. It was a fake cigarette, but I kept like choking. So the guy or whatever, the gaffer guy, and I started playing around with it, and he showed me how to do it to where it didn't all go in my throat. So anyway, I have wonderful people around me that can show me and teach me. But all that to say, that one, it's called Angie's Cure, and it's a complete departure from who I am. And for me, the reward came after we did the first take and people started like applauding. Like after we did that, because we started off with my most intense scene. And I was like, oh my Lord. When I saw it at the top of the call sheet, I was like, oh my God. First scene of the movie, first scene of the day was that scene. And it was like 12 pages of just crazy, like, I mean, just reaming my kid. And it felt like I had conquered, like David and Goliath, like I had slayed Goliath by the end.
You were ready though. You were ready for it.
Yeah, but it was, like I said, it was scary, you know, mm-hmm. and it was the most vulnerable because it wasn't about the hair and the makeup and the shoes or anything. This was like mm-hmm. straight up about performance, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I did that, I felt pretty darn like, man, I did that shit, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like I got girls got some range. Girl could pull it off, you know.
Exactly.
People say, "Oh, do you have?" I got range, baby. Oh, I got range. I can. And I do voiceover work. I'm a superhero right now too. So there you have it.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's something else you can put under your belt.
It's called Young Justice. We just got DC Comics or whatever. Just had season 4 of Young Justice, and I play a superhero, Rocket.
You know what? You and Halle Berry. When it comes to that, there is nothing like when a black woman become a superhero. It's just extra flavor or taste. It's something amazing.
Yeah, when a black woman
stands up and get those roles, I love it.
I mean, that's the beauty mm-hmm. of acting, to live vicariously through another character. I mean, it's just so cool. And that's what I say sometimes, you know, when I was playing, you know, the chicks stealing men and stealing money, there's no repercussions. I don't have to worry about no chick coming and knocking at my door. I didn't do it.
Right.
Like, I didn't. That was her. That was not me. That was Trina. That's not the me. I didn't do it. I didn't do it, Jillie. It's cool.
Denise, I want to ask you about the movie Hashtag Unknown.
Yes.
I don't want to do any spoilers to those who have not seen it yet, but I do want to kind of just touch base to kind of maybe that will spark someone's interest or who's on the fence of seeing it. Is it more like a psychological revenge, or from what I, it's like a mm-hmm. mystery within a mystery?
I would just simply say a psychological thriller.
Okay.
And personally, you see, that's the thing. So the way that it is, and that's why I was asking, I became a pain in you know what with Laz, because we mm-hmm. have scenes or whatever that are woven into the thread of the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so our characters or whatever, we have one purpose, whereas the movie unfolds with a whole other situation going on, right? So we only knew our parts. I did. Okay, whether or not P knew his other stuff or whatever, I don't know. But Laz basically gave it and was like, okay, so here you go. This is that. Da, da, da. I was like, okay, but how does this tie into the other stuff? He was like, don't worry about it. Just do your thing. Okay, wait. Laz, I need to know how this, you know, was intertwined with the other part of the story. He's like, Denise, I trust you. You are going to make the right choices. Don't worry about it. I was like, I wanted to say so bad. So what's my motivation? Like, and I hate that damn phrase. What's my motivation? But that's what I didn't understand. I was like, what the hell am I doing this or whatever? What is it about this character? Why is she doing this? Like, I'm like, she seems very sketchy. She seems like she is so not on the up and up. Okay. This is not mm-hmm. no regular DA, and he is definitely not a regular mayor. Something is going on here. Right. And he was just like, no, he was like, I trust that you're going to make the right choices. So don't worry. I'm just like, so when I actually went to the premiere is when I saw the full effects of what was going on. And I was like, oh my God. Here's why it's a psychological thriller. I didn't understand what was really going on or how these pieces were interconnected until like 3/4 of the way into the movie. Like, it's just kind of like, you know, you're getting these things, you know, this unknown, you know, call or whatever keeps happening. Just like, but wait,
mm-hmm.
why? I don't understand. Like, you don't really start to understand how everything is really woven in together until like mm-hmm. 3/4 away. Then it starts to kind of like this and that. It's like, oh my God. But even when you get to the end, it takes you for a loop and a turn, like a complete 360. Like, oh snap, you know, like that's, oh my God. Like, it's just very unexpected. It's a very okay. unexpected mm-hmm. thrill ride. It's very intense. I'm a grown woman and my heart can't take certain things no more. And I was just freaked out. Okay.
And that's amazing how you're in the movie and when you come and you're watching it and it has an effect on you.
Well, there's so
everybody
that
thinks
unknown
that
to
you
me.
Know.
Yeah, it was so much that was unknown to me. And I was like, oh my God.
No, you didn't.
I was like, mama heart can't take this. Okay, we just COVID, we went through Black Lives Matter. My heart can't take no more. Like, no. Laz, I
was it's like, too much.
And so I told Laz, I was like, I really don't want to know what's going on in your brain right now, because this is some twisted stuff right here. Like, for you to have conceived of this, this is something. I don't want to know what's up in that brain of yours, because again, it's a total departure. He went from a love story. You know what I'm saying? A beautiful, emotional love story. And then this. And I'm like, okay, wait. I'm like, this is some Jekyll and Hyde kind of stuff right here. But it's amazing. And it just shows you how versatile he is as a writer and director. You know what I'm saying? And it shows you how much P is able to recognize and identify good product. You know what I'm saying? So he's obviously come around or whatever, and he's into this entertainment lane and trying to revamp it in a different lane or way. He's trying to elevate that part of his portfolio.
He did a good job.
He's a legend. You know what I'm saying? He's a legend. He is just like a mogul, you know?
Yes.
You don't get to mogul status without being that person that's, you know, pounding that pavement and willing to put in the work. And he's this right here, this lane, he's now ready for this lane.
And that's what he always say. Always said, put in the work.
He puts in the work, and he's in this lane, and he is learning this part again, how to do it, how to execute and execute it right with some elevated material. Like, he, you could tell, you could see that fool on set, and you, that eye of the tiger, girl, the eye of the tiger was coming out, and that little flame was fluttering. I was just like, okay, you know what, P, just don't forget about the folks that were here when you first started, okay?
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
You could tell because they're conquerors. You know what I'm saying? A Tyler Perry doesn't just happen. Okay. They are people that are in a whole other stratosphere. You know what I'm saying? And when their minds start getting determined and focused and in the zone or whatever, there's no stopping them. You know, P, with regards to music, he's conquered that world. He's conquered that territory. You know what I'm saying? He has a space in, you know, in rap, you know, history that is never going to be, you know, denied. This lane right here.
Right.
I think he's still hungry. I this part right here, I think he feels is unconquered territory and is another lane for him to now go ahead and sink his teeth into and make some real magic happen. So the fact that, you know, he and Laz found each other, and, you know, it seems like that fire has been reignited. Like, I'm just like sitting back ready, like, okay, what's next? What's next?
Yeah.
Because when 50 first did it, I think people were surprised at 50. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And now it's like, dude, his programming, that's the top-notch stuff that you see on TV, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
So
yes,
moguls, ma'am. Moguls know moguls, and moguls know how to get it done. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
But now I want to kind of direct, like, on your Instagram page, I have one last question for you. You had Louisiana Culinary Meets Hollywood. I love the graphic, the color.
Isn't she cute?
Yes. I said, now I got to ask, get more detail. We got to bring this out a little bit more. I know you've been busy filming, but what are you bringing to Hollywood?
Well, I am bringing a little Creole, honey. I'm bringing a little Creole to Hollywood. But yeah, I mean, anytime I say that all the time, people are just like, oh, you know, what are you doing this week? Oh, I'm going home. And they're just like, oh, that's nice. But what are you doing this week? I was like, I'm going home. Anytime I say home, I'm going to Louisiana. Okay. Mm-hmm. My husband and I, our hearts never left. It took me leaving to appreciate the simplicity of where I come from. At the time, I was just like, as soon as I graduated from LSU, honey, I loaded up the truck and I was out. I went to Dallas and that was that. I was like, y'all are so small-minded and you don't think beyond this little city and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm conquering new territory. And I'm like, oh man, I miss home. Like, I just, it's just a part of who I am, you know? Mm-hmm. And once I went to Dallas, I was actually in advertising, because again, that's a whole other story as to how I fell into acting, because that wasn't something, that wasn't a path that I chose for myself. It just happened. And I was like, okay, God, if that's what you're planning, you know, if that's what you want, you know, I'll just make it happen, you know, because I'm a control freak. And so this was not within my control, you know, Hollywood and this entertainment thing. I don't think anything's in our control, but this even more so. I mean, the odds are definitely, the deck is stacked against you pretty good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is.
So this was totally out of my comfort zone. But anyway, that said, you know, I was in advertising and it was cool. And I kind of started missing home. And so because my mom, she was a homemaker, like nobody's business. My mama, my grandma, like everybody, I grew up with that. In Louisiana, mm-hmm. That's what we say. We mourn, we cook, we celebrate, we cook. We ain't doing nothing, we cooking. Like that's what we do, we eat. We eat and drink our pains, our cares, our fears, our excitement away. That's what we do. And mm-hmm. So when I left, I miss that camaraderie. Every Sunday we were at my mama's house. You know, we were mm-hmm. at visiting with family. We didn't have to announce or whatever, or schedule a date to come to somebody's house. We just got there. Hey, home did a little toot.
I love that.
Yeah, we're on the porch or whatever, having a conversation. Mm-hmm. I didn't miss that till I left that. Mm-hmm. You know, and all that, oh my God, you're so small-minded. No, it's called the simple life. It's called not being complicated. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's like finding value in what matters. That's what it's called. Yeah. And so when I wanted to connect to that and I started kind of feeling like, you know, a little homesick, I started identifying and relating and nurturing that with food. Mm-hmm. So it became a thing where, you know, I would ask my mom how to make certain things. So then on Fridays, it became, Mom, I want to make blah, blah, blah. What do I need to do that? Okay, mm-hmm. So go to the store and you get this, that, and the other. Okay, so we would cook together on Saturdays. So Saturday, afternoons or whatever, you know, everybody getting ready to go party and drop it like it's hot. No, not me. I was mm-hmm. talking to my mom and we were recreating family recipes in the kitchen. So... Mm-hmm. That's kind of where the love or whatever for cooking didn't actually start until I left home and had to do it for myself. Okay. And was trying mm-hmm. to get a little piece of the home by connecting with it in the kitchen. Right. Mm-hmm. So then when I came to Los Angeles, well, here's another thing. People are eating healthier. People are wondering, you know, worried about what they're putting in their body. They're not deep frying. They're not, you know, butter slabbing and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm not eating tofu. Okay. So what can mm-hmm. I do, you know, to make it healthier for my now husband and, you know, years down the line, my child, to live a healthier lifestyle? Because that's what California did for me, made me be like, okay, you know, some of the stuff that I'm putting in my body, I got to kind of slow it down. I got to do it. So mm-hmm. I made my own spice. So I would, because we all love all-purpose seasonings, right? And so there's a bunch of them that I can't mention right now, not no more, because I have all the money. But I just mixed it up in the kitchen. I have it in a little container. I can show it to you, okay? Because I'm like, I'm not using my own product because those bottles cost money and I'm going to sell those, not use those. But one of the chefs that I had met years ago on the Tom Joyner cruise, he and I started talking on the cruise or whatever. And he was talking about, you know, the fact that he had an FDA approved kitchen, all this stuff, whatever. So we decided to do a cookbook. So it's just like, okay, exactly. When I do Louisiana Wednesdays on Wednesday, look at that. That's Chef Janar right there. That. That's my boy. See, it's there because I did the Wednesday show or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you right now, 9 o'clock, baby, 9 o'clock on a PST. Mm-hmm. 11 o'clock CST. But it was so funny because he came to the house with his wife and I had salmon. We had salmon. Okay, great. And he's like, niece, what you got on here? Oh my God, he's from Mississippi. Yes, this is good. And I was just like, oh, it's like, you know, I just kind of mix it or whatever. And he was like, let me see that. And so I showed him. He was just like, you did that yourself? And I was like, hey, he was like, you need to put this in a bottle. And I was like, generic, whatever, you know, I ain't doing all that. He's like, no, for real. He was like, you know, remember that kitchen I told you about? He was like, well, I can mix that up for you and this, that, and the other. So worked on the logo. He was able to upscale the recipe, which, you know, I only did it, you know, in my kitchen, but to do it in batches and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Well, you got, of course, you know, change up your measurements, all that fun stuff. So when we finally, you know, he got it right, I was like, okay, that's it. There was the birth of Louisiana Girl Spices. So ooh. Louisiana Girl Creole Culinary or whatever is the over, you know, mm-hmm. umbrella of it. And then yes. underneath that, I have the spices. And now we're going to release pecan pralines. Pralines, ooh. Pralines, I don't know what you call it or whatever. But we're now working on making batches of that or whatever, because I can make them in my kitchen, but of course, like I said, I want to do it right with the FDA approval and make sure bigger batches with that. So it's a learning curve. It's a learning curve. Mm-hmm. And the food processing kind of situation, that's a whole other territory. But I'm going to conquer that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of just fell into that. That's amazing. Because you're like into the acting. Now she's doing cooking. So I'm like, I wanted to ask you about that to kind of bring that out.
Yeah.
And then we got our own business flowing. More products is coming.
You got yeah, more products are coming there. And I'm also, as a producer, have certain mm-hmm. things that I've actually been working on since I got here. Because my whole thing is, you know, in front of the camera, I love the acting part of it. But, you know, in order to get a job, it sometimes takes time between jobs. Well, I was like, you know, Miss Control Freak, I got to control something. So I'm also producing. So I'm also producing along with my manager and another team member. We're producing our own show. So we have options on two show, a film and a show right now. And so I got to, you know, kind of dabble in that too. So I like to be challenged. I like to have new things or whatever I'm working on, you know, in addition to playing different characters or whatever. That's one part of my love, but I also like mm-hmm. the producing side. I'm an apprentice, so I'm still learning that. And the culinary side, that's just in my bones, girl. That's my DNA.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Louisiana. I ain't got
That's Black. We have to cook. There's no way.
That's what we do. That's some love in the pot, girl. That's love in the pot. That's how we show our love. Yes.
That's it. But I love that about you, how you always willing to step out of your comfort zone. I finally got to that point. It was a struggle, but yeah, it feels good when you do. Like, just do it. Like,
it's you know what? It's about conquering fear. You know what it is? I had a conversation with my daughter just like that the other night. And girl, this came up because of a spelling bee. I don't think I'm going to do the spelling bee this year. And it's like, okay, Jordan, why wouldn't you do the spelling bee? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. The words are just like really, people don't even speak like that. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. first of all, you're not a Valley girl, so why you sound like this? Second of all,
it's because of you.
See like that, Jordan. If you say like one more time, like we gonna have a problem, okay? Because I cannot bring you home to Louisiana. And like that. I was like, this is not gonna work, okay? And then I was like, Jordan, are you afraid to fail? And she was like, what do you mean? Well, Jordan, okay, babe, you won the spelling bee 2 years ago. They didn't have one last year because COVID. You won the spelling bee 2 years ago. So why this year is it that you don't want to do it? Are the words people don't use? And why all the excuses? She's like, I don't know. I just don't think it's me. I said, no, you're afraid to fail. Mm-hmm. Like, you won. You won 2 years ago. So you don't want to go down as the girl that won 2 years ago. And now you didn't even make it.
That's it.
Mommy, I don't know. I never thought of it that way. And then sure enough, I guess she let it marinate, girl, on the brain for a moment. She came back. She's like, Mom, that's it. She's like, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. I was like, well, I get that. She was like, does that ever happen? I was like, girl, every day. Every day, all day. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's a matter of either our village around us checking us on it. You know, mm-hmm. Mommy could check it on you because Mommy knows. We all know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So either your village identifies it and recognizes it and makes you look in the mirror and face the fear and do it anyway. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And I think it's just a day-to-day challenge that us as human beings, yeah, fear of failure is real.
It is. It is.
Fear of failure is real, you know, and it's about us, you know, praying our way through it, you know, having our mm-hmm. village encourage us through it, you know what I'm saying? And just being like, I ain't got nothing to lose, so why not? That, you know, me coming out here. Yeah, I mean, the fear is real. I mean, if I questioned it too much, that was not logical. That I was going to leave my really nice, well-paying job or whatever to come to darn Hollywood, you know what I'm saying, and live in the slums, not even knowing what tennis shoes on the fire wire, whatever you want to call it, electrical wire meant. Like mm-hmm. my husband was like, "Well, wait." I was like, "But this is all we can afford." He's like, "You already like put the down payment for the rent." I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Did you notice those tennis shoes on the wire?" No. Do you know what that means? No.
He's right though.
But I didn't know. But all I had was stars in my eyes and just excitement and nothing but dreams and potential. And I'm here. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Ignorance was bliss, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to, woulda, coulda, shoulda. I didn't want to one day have this potential opportunity hit me and just be like scared of with fear to where I didn't take it and just see what happened, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of how I've tried to navigate life. You know, I don't want the woulda, coulda, shouldas of life to overshadow, you know, just giving it, you know, all to God and just trying to see where it leads, you know?
That's it. That's the key. And look where you are now. I mean, everybody knows you. The world knows you.
But I'm still, you know, still there's still so much, you know, work to be done. And I appreciate mm-hmm. people like you, you know, that know my work and appreciate my work or whatever, but there's still levels to climb. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel, you know, I might be the underdog chick. I want to be like, no. If you didn't take notice or whatever, you better recognize now. Okay. Because mm-hmm. between the range of, you know, opportunities I've had to prove myself or whatever, it's like, okay, if you don't know now, you better recognize. Like, this is like flying under the radar is, you know, cute and stuff. But no, that's not where
there's a season to come out from that.
That's what I'm saying.
It's time to come out full force now.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. So thanks to people like P, like, you know, Laz, you know, like Tyler, that have given mm-hmm. me a platform to stand upon and show that or whatever. Every single connection you make or whatever is another opportunity for you to shine in front of the right people to reach that next, keep on climbing on that mountaintop, you know?
That's it. Yeah. Even I have to keep telling myself that, you know, to keep going, because you don't never know.
You don't.
I mean, I would have never thought that I'd be talking to you. I would never, ever see this day coming. It is amazing.
And, thank you, Monica.
I love your spirit. You're so down to earth. Oh my God.
Thank you. I appreciate that. No, I do. That's why some people, it's like when I was in that, you know, still men, still money kind of thing, they're like, you are nice. And I was just like, yeah. I was like, I really am. I was like, girl, I'm just a good actress. That's all.
Well, thank you so much for taking time for me to interview you to answer my questions today, Denise. I'm so appreciative.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I got this, I'm already following you on Instagram.
Yes.
But I'm definitely going to be, you know, tuning even more because I want to get those spices you got.
Oh, honey. Yes.
And that film you're producing, I want to kind of see, you know.
You better do it, girl. Look, don't play with me. And Wednesdays, look, yo, don't sleep on Louisiana Wednesdays, girl. We have a little fun up and down. Yes, the last show was a little ratchet. You know, I had a little Megan Thee Stallion, Beyonce rocking that one. But that was because I had my manager on, and he is a mess. Everybody's like, is he a stand-up comedian? I'm like, no, he's just a mess.
He's being himself.
I love that man. I swear, my voice of reason, and he will give it to me straight, girl. When I tell you, he does not candy coat nothing. Nothing.
That's good. You need that. Yeah. I mean, everybody needs somebody like that. Just
and that's why. That's why I trust him. If he don't tell me, I mean, then nobody will. Because he's just that's the kind of person I like in my camp. Just tell him. Just give it to me straight.
Yeah. That's how you excel. There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. That's if you know a person has your best interest at heart, that is the kind of person you need in your corner for sure. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Denise, for spending time. I don't want to, let me end the recording.